Today's episode of A New Beginning is brought to you by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Learn more at harvest.org. And while you're there, browse our library of free ebooks designed to help you grow in your faith.
When you pray for something over and over again and you wonder why your prayer's not answered in the affirmative, you ask, why is that? Well, here's one option, is you have an idol in your heart.
Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie offers us practical help with our prayer lives, a warning about idols that are a substitute for God.
An idol is anyone or anything that takes the place of the true and living God in your life. That's why it can bring our prayer life to a halt.
This is the day.
Is a privilege. God invites us to pray with boldness. He invites us to seek, ask, and knock. But sometimes our prayers can be derailed. Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie helps us investigate those factors that can keep our prayers from reaching God's throne. We're in a practical series of lessons in the Gospel of Mark titled The Gospel for Busy People. And today we'll see how to undergird our prayers with faith and with a proper attitude and respect for our God.
I have a message for you with the title, Amazing Faith, and we're in Mark chapter 7. This woman had a problem. Her daughter was possessed by demons, and she needed to get to Jesus, and hell or high water would not stop her. She was the mother who would not give up. Let's read now from Mark chapter 7. I'm going to read verses 24 to 29, and by the way, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Then Jesus left Galilee and went north to the region of Tyre. He didn't want anyone to know what house he was staying in, but he couldn't keep it a secret. Right away, a woman who had heard about him came and fell at his feet. Her little girl was possessed by an evil spirit, and she begged him to cast out the demons from her daughter. Since she was a Gentile born in Syrian Phoenicia, Jesus told her, "First, I should feed the children, my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Well, that's true, Lord. But even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps that fall from the children's plates." I love the response of Jesus. "Good answer," he said. "Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter." And when she arrived home, she found her little girl lying quietly in bed, and the demon was gone. Jesus knows this woman has amazing faith. Jesus wants to draw this faith out, and he wants to put it on display so we can all learn from it. So he sort of puts up a hurdle, if you will, but he knows this woman can easily clear this hurdle. He knew she's going to be able to pass this test with flying colors. But sometimes it seems like God isn't listening to us. He always is. And he's not paying attention, but he is paying attention. I know the hardest response to accept is no response at all, but there may be something going on behind the scenes. In other words, when you pray and you pray for something over and over again and you wonder why your prayer is not answered in the affirmative, you ask, why is that? Well, here's one option. Maybe there's a spiritual battle raging that you know nothing about. Let me say that again. Your prayer may not be answered because there's a spiritual battle raging that you know nothing about. There's a fascinating story in Daniel chapter 10, where a mighty angel appears before the prophet Daniel. The angel says to Daniel, "Hey, your prayer has been heard by God. In fact, it was heard 21 days ago. And I was dispatched from heaven with the answer to your prayer, but I was tripped up by a more powerful angel, fallen angel, in this case, described as the prince of Persia. So the Lord had to send reinforcements, and Michael, the archangel, came to my rescue, and here's the answer to your prayer." You ever think about that? You prayed a prayer, it was heard in heaven, an answer was sent, and there's a spiritual battle among angels raging behind the scenes. Remember this, God's delays are not necessarily his denials. Keep praying. Another reason your prayer may not be answered in the affirmative is because there is unconfessed sin in your life. Psalm 66:18 says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. In Isaiah 59, we read these words, listen, the Lord is not too weak, he can't save you, nor is he becoming deaf, so he can't hear you. Here's the problem. Your sins have cut you off from God. Because of your sin, he's turned away and will not listen anymore. It may be a sin in your past that has remained unconfessed and undealt with. Listen to this. God cannot forgive the sin you will not confess. Maybe it's a sin in your life right now you don't think is a sin. You've somehow rationalized it. I think it's a good idea for all believers to pray what the psalmist prayed in Psalm 139 when he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Have you just paused before the Lord in prayer recently and said, Lord, if there's anything in my life that is displeasing to you, if there's any relationship I'm engaged in that dishonors you, if there's any pursuit I'm engaged in that is outside of your will, would you show that to me? I don't want any sin separating me from you. I think the Lord will hear that prayer. Another thing that may keep your prayers from being answered in the affirmative is you have an idol in your heart. An idol in your heart. Idols in our hearts cause God to refuse to listen to our prayers. Ezekiel 14:3 says, son of man, these leaders have set up idols in their hearts. They have embraced things that lead them into sin. Why should I let them ask me anything? We think, wait, an idol? What do you mean an idol? We think of an idol as a little carved image, and it, of course, is that. But it can be something else. An idol can be something you drive. An idol can be something you hold. An idol can be some passion you have in life that's more important to you than God. Listen to this. An idol, or a god with a small g, is anyone or anything that takes the place of the true and living God in your life. That's why we read in 1 John, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Years ago, I was leading a tour to Israel, and we went in the footsteps of Paul. So we went to modern-day Turkey, where the biblical Ephesus is, and we saw that amazing city. And so the people of Ephesus worshiped the goddess Diana, a little carved image. It was a big deal to the people there. So as I was getting ready to give my message, I saw a little souvenir stand, and they were actually selling these little Diana statues that the people used to worship. So I bought one because I was going to use it as an illustration. So as I'm giving my message, I'm saying, this is what the people worshiped, and how ridiculous this is. And I threw it to the ground, and afterwards I threw it in my backpack and thought nothing of it. And then we got on a cruise ship, because this cruise ship would take us from port to port for the footsteps of Paul. And I had two of my granddaughters with me, Lucy and Stella. And I'm sitting in my cabin with them, and I see they're playing with the little idol, the little goddess, Diana. And she's like a doll, and they have her talking. I'm like, what? That's like an idol. Why do I have an idol in my room? And why are my granddaughters playing with an idol? So I said, girls, give that to me. And I left the room and went to the side of the boat, and I threw it over into the ocean, because I don't even want a technical idol in my life. But if we allow these other things to crowd out God, it can bring our prayer life to a halt.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
Hey everybody, I want to encourage you to check out the new Harvest Plus app. It's on Roku, Apple TV, and Google Play, among others. And you can stream incredible content on all major platforms for free. You're going to find live events, our evangelistic films like A Rush of Hope, Johnny Cash, A Redemption of an American Icon, Steve McQueen, The Salvation of an American Icon, and our newest film, Fame. Plus, our TV programs, our podcast, Harvest at Home, and a lot more. Stream it all on any device for free using the new Harvest Plus app.
Well, we're discussing prayer today on A New Beginning, as Pastor Greg provides some insight on why our prayers are answered and sometimes why they're not. It's a study based in Mark chapter 7.
Here's another reason our prayers are not answered quite yet, because God wants us to keep praying. He wants us to keep praying. And clearly, that's the situation with this woman. Again, he did not erect these barriers to keep her away, but to draw her closer. Let's come back to what Jesus said. Look at verse 27. Hey, she says, touch my demon-possessed daughter. He goes, first I need to feed the children. It is my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and throw it to the dogs. What kind of thing is that to say? Let's understand it contextually. There's two words that could be used for dogs. One describes dirty roaming packs of dogs that live off garbage and dead animals. And by the way, there were a lot of those back in these days in Israel. I remember a number of years ago, I was in a third world country and I went for a run on the beach. That's when I used to run. I don't really run much anymore. I walk briskly, but I went for a run on the beach and all of a sudden a couple of wild dogs started chasing me. I'll say this, I ran a lot faster. Maybe if I was chased by a wild dog again, I would run, but I ran a crazy wild dogs. That's not the word that Jesus uses. He uses a word that would refer to little puppies or family pets. It's sort of an affectionate way to describe it. I mean, we love our dogs, especially the doodles, right? There's a lot of oodles and doodles and dogs today. There's a labradoodle and a this doodle and a that oodle, but these cute little dogs. And dogs are so much a part of our culture. There's a new book out now called Pet Nation that talks about how the attitude of Americans has changed toward their pets. In the old days, dogs slept outside. Remember dog houses? Remember Snoopy and his dog house? Sometimes he'd sleep on top of it. And when you were in trouble, what was the expression? Oh, he's in the dog house. Well, dogs don't have houses anymore. Dogs live in our house. And sometimes they even live in our bed. And sometimes they even eat at our table. And now dogs have Instagram accounts. And cats have hotels and gourmet food. And there's luxury fashion for pets. My goodness, dogs are even mayors. I just read an article that said a dog was elected mayor. I'm not making this up. In the town of Rabbit Hash in Kentucky. Rabbit Hash. I'm surprised they didn't elect a rabbit to be their mayor. But the article says this dog, whose name is Wilbur, was elected. And by the way, he won 13,000 votes. Mayor Wilbur, their mayor is a dog. I'm sure when they told him the good news, he just rolled over with excitement, right? Crazy. But that's sort of our relationship with animals today. And so Jesus is really saying, let me paraphrase, you know, it's not right to take the children's food and give it to the little puppies. She could have been offended by that, but I think she knew exactly what was going on. She could see the love in his eyes. She could see the little bit of a smile on his face. So she comes back with this classic response. Look at verse 28. That's true, Lord, but even the dogs under the table are allowed to eat the scraps from the children's plate. Hey, Lord, even some of your leftover power is more than enough for me. Guess what? That woman just passed the test with flying colors. Look at what Jesus says in verse 29. He says, good answer. Now go home, for the demon has left your daughter. I think the disciples' jaws must have dropped to the ground. They're thinking, yeah, get this woman out of here. You don't want to help her. And he makes a statement to her, and she responds to him, what is going on here? And then he says, good answer. Your prayer is answered. Good answer. Isn't that great? Why this sudden transformation? He goes from ignoring her to answering her prayer. Answer, because of her persistence, tenacity, and commitment. The door is shut in her face, and she just keeps knocking. She won't give up. She had an amazing faith, and she would not go home without an answer. What an example for us to remember to keep praying for our children. Maybe I'm talking to somebody right now who has a son or a daughter who's taken a prodigal turn. Maybe I'm talking to a prodigal. And I just want you to know that you're breaking your parents' hearts. And you need to come back to the Lord again. Because whatever you're chasing after, you know it's not going to satisfy you. You're going to come to the end of it. And I hope you don't come to the end of it at the end of your life and throw your life away. Come back to Jesus. And I'll tell you how to do that in a few moments. So listen, don't give up on your children. Or the devil will whisper in your ear and he'll say, oh, it's too late for your kids. They'll never change. Don't listen to him. He's a liar and he's a father of lies. Keep praying for them. And by the way, you know you're praying according to the will of God when you're praying for someone to come to or come back to the Lord. You say, how do you know that, Greg? Because the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's the heart of God to see people come to him or come back to him. God loves these people and he wants to reach them, and he wants to reach them for you. So our message is almost done here. Let's conclude. What do we learn from this story? Number one, faith is often found in the most unexpected places, isn't it? Again, faith is found in the most unexpected and unusual places. Listen, it is grace, not the place that makes a person a believer. Let me say that again. It's grace, not the place. You know, one would not have expected a person with faith like this woman who was in another country, a country that was filled with the enemies of Israel, a woman who was steeped in pagan idolatry, to be someone of great faith. I mean, in contrast, Simon Peter, who was Jewish, was told by Jesus he had little faith. Jesus said to him, "Oh, Peter, why do you have such little faith?" And yet here is this woman, a Gentile woman outside of God's covenant, and he commends her faith. Number two, no matter what, bring your problems to Jesus. Nothing will shock him. Nothing will surprise him. You might say, well, Greg, I'm just unworthy to approach God. I hate to break this to you. You were never worthy to approach God. Yeah, but what about that day that I went to church twice and I read 10 chapters of the Bible and I shared the gospel with someone and I was fasting too? Hey, you know what? You were not worthy to approach God on that day. And so this is not about worthiness. This is about the grace of God. Remember, the woman said, have mercy on me. Thirdly, when you pray, seek to find the will of God. Align yourself with it and pray with persistence. Again, as I said, you know you're praying according to the will of God when you're praying for someone to come to or come back to Jesus Christ. So keep praying. Don't give up. Jesus said men ought always to pray and not give up. Let me say this in closing. Jesus went way out of his way to reach this woman. She had an appointment with Jesus. I don't know if it showed up on her calendar that day, but it was there. Do you have an appointment with Jesus right now? Maybe you tuned into this by accident, or maybe someone told you to tune in, or however you are watching this. You don't have a relationship with God, and you don't know how to have a relationship with God. Let me tell you how now. Understand this. God loves you. God wants to forgive you of all of your sin. But there's nothing you can do to make this right. Living a good life, being a nice person, nothing. You're always going to fall short of God and his glory. But here's the good news. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth on a rescue mission to die on the cross. Oh, we love to think of Jesus as a little baby there in the manger, and that's all true. But listen to this. The nativity, or the birth of Christ, or the incarnation, happened so there would be the crucifixion. We don't want to think of the baby growing up to be a man and dying on a cross. We almost think of that as an aberration in the beautiful story. No, it was the whole purpose of the story. This child was born to die that we may live. Christ died on the cross for your sin. He took the judgment that should have come upon you and upon me, upon himself, and he rose again from the dead 3 days later. And listen, he stands at the door of your life right now and he knocks. It says, if you hear his voice and open the door, he will come in. Jesus went out of his way to reach this woman. He wants to reach you right now. He wants to forgive you right now. You can come into a relationship with him and have all of your sin forgiven. I mentioned prodigals earlier. Maybe I'm talking to a prodigal. And if you don't know what I mean by that, I mean someone that walked with the Lord at one time, but now you've walked away from him. And I bet you're pretty empty inside. Now, maybe you haven't said it out loud, but you are. Because you know how it can be. You know what it's like to wake up in the morning with guilt racking you or having a hangover. You know what it's like to gather together with God's people and worship the Lord and hear the word of God, but you push that all out of your life and you chase after other things and you've already seen the emptiness of it. You can come back to Jesus right now. You might ask, well, how do I do this? You call out to him. What did this woman do? She called out to Jesus, and the Bible says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You say, but how do I call out to him? Do you have his number? Can I text him? No. You call out in prayer. And in a moment, I would like to lead you in a prayer where you would ask Christ to come into your life and forgive you of your sin. So listen, if you want Jesus to forgive you of your sin, if you want to know that you'll go to heaven when you die, if you want to start this new relationship with him, or if you're a prodigal son or daughter and you want to come back to the Lord, pray this prayer with me. In fact, you could even pray it out loud. Just pray these words if you would. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I know that you're the Savior. I believe you died on the cross for my sin and rose again from the dead. Now, Jesus, come into my life. I choose to follow you from this moment forward as my Savior and Lord, as my God and friend. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
An important prayer from Pastor Greg Laurie for those making a change in their relationship with God today. And if you yourself have prayed with Pastor Greg and made a first-time decision for the Lord, we'd like to help you get started in your new relationship with God. We'd like to send you Pastor Greg's New Believer's Bible. Not only will you find the scripture text in an easy-to-read translation, you'll find hundreds of helps just for new believers. So call us at 1-800-821-3300 and ask for it. We'll send it free of charge. Again, it's the New Believer's Bible. And our number, 1-800-821-3300. Or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or go online to harvest.org and click Know God. Well, it's our pleasure to have Lee Strobel in the studio with us. He's not only a good friend, but quite an author. He's the former award-winning legal editor of the Chicago Tribune. He's a New York Times best-selling author. Of course, everybody remembers his book, The Case for Christ, from some years ago. But we're here to talk about a brand new book, Lee, called Is God Real?, that you've just finished. You mentioned a survey that said 44% of Americans are more open to God today than before COVID-19. Hmm. That's a very encouraging fact, you know, given all the people that have turned their back on faith. This book really comes at a pivotal time, doesn't it?
Well, we see statistics go in both directions. You know, when I was a high school freshman in 1967, 98% of Americans believed in God. Now the number's 81%. So it's just lowest in history. And only 6 out of 10 say they're sure that God exists. So, we have negative numbers like that, and we see Generation Z, where twice as many call themselves atheists as in older generations. But then we see, as you mentioned, these positive statistics. And one of the things that prompted me to write this book was that my publisher came to me and said, we've made a weird discovery. We found that 200 times a second around the clock, someone on planet Earth is typing into a computer search engine basically the question, is God real? And I thought, oh my goodness, I mean, that just shows how much curiosity and interest there is. And that was a motivation behind writing this book, to try to respond to that question in a way that reflects the most current thinking of science and history and philosophy.
Yeah. You call that question
In the book, you call it the most controversial issue of all.
Yeah.
Why do you say that?
Well, because so much hangs on it.
Yeah.
There was an atheist named William Provine. He was debating a Christian. And he got up and he said, look, I'm an atheist, but I'll just be totally honest with you. If there's no creator, then five things are true. There's no evidence for God. There's no life after death. There's no absolute foundation for right and wrong. There's no absolute meaning for life. And we really don't have free will. We're just biochemical machines. Well, think about that. I mean, those are some of the most fundamental issues that we can possibly consider. And so much hangs on this question of whether God is real, that I think that's what prompts people to really be curious about it. And, you know, I think when we see statistics that are negative, we can't ignore the fact that there are still a lot of people who are spiritually curious. My friend Shane Pruitt, who's an evangelist who travels the country and speaks to young people, high school students and college students, he said, Lee, in the last 3 years, I've seen more teenagers come to faith in Jesus Christ than in the previous 18 years of ministry combined.
Wow.
Wow.
So we're seeing, we see these outbreaks of revival going on. So we see positive things too. And that's what I hope this book will feed.
Mm. And we're excited to make this available, aren't we, Pastor Greg?
We really are, David. The book, again, is called Is God Real? From Lee Strobel that you just heard from. And this is a book that you want. This is great for a Christian to reinforce your faith. And in fact, maybe you'll learn things you did not know before about what the Bible says and why you should believe what you believe. This book is going to help you believe your beliefs and doubt your doubts. And it's also going to be a great tool to share with someone. After you've done, you might want to share it with a friend, a family member, a neighbor, or someone that does not yet know the Lord. So the book is going to both equip you and motivate you to answer the biggest of all questions, is God real? We're offering this book to you this month for your gift of any size. Whatever you send will enable us to continue on bringing this radio broadcast where, as you know, we teach the Bible, but we also call people to Christ. So order your copy of Is God Real? From my friend, Lee Strobel.
Yeah, that's right. We have a copy here waiting for you. And thank you for your investment in these daily studies. We are a listener-supported ministry, and we couldn't be here each day without the generosity of our friends. So get in touch with your donation today, and be sure to ask for Is God Real? And time is running out for us to mention this resource, so get in touch with us right away. You can call us at 1-800-821-3300. We're here around the clock. Again, dial 1-800-821-3300. Or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or go online to harvest.org. Well, next time, Pastor Greg brings us a special message to help us prepare our hearts and minds for Easter weekend. Join us here on A New Beginning with pastor and Bible teacher Greg Laurie.
Thanks for listening to A New Beginning with Greg Laurie, a podcast made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for daily devotions and learn how to become a Harvest Partner at harvest.org.